Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. You may be seated. Glory to God. You can open up your Bible to the 2 Corinthians, the third chapter. Hallelujah. Splendor of the King, with his clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in the light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? All will see how great is our God. Oh, how great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God. Oh, age to age he stands, and the time is on his hands, beginning and the end. Beginning and the end. Oh, the Godhead three in one. The Father, Spirit, and Son. The Lion and the Lamb. The Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? All will see how great is our God. Help us sing it. Oh, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God. The name above all names, he is worthy of all praise, and my heart will sing how great is our God. Oh, he, a name above all names, he is worthy of all praise, my heart will sing how great is our God. Oh, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God. Yeah, everybody see how great
is our God.
Yeah, sing with me, our God is great.
All will see
how great. Glory to God. Come on and give him some praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I hope you got your Bibles open to 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter and the 6th verse. In the 6th verse, it says, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. How many heard that? Who also hath made us able ministers. If you look at hath made us, it means enabled us or made us efficient as. Made us efficient. We have been made efficient ministers. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Regardless of what you think of yourself, God made you efficient. Ain't that good to know? That he made you efficient. He hath made it. You didn't do it, but God did it. All he wants you to do is what? Pray without ceasing, meditate upon the word of God, and study to show yourself approved, and he'll do the rest. Amen. God always gives the increase.
if you get your increase from anywhere but God, it ain't going to last. You got to get it from God. He has made us able ministers, and the word minister is very important too. It's diokakos. It means a servant. Well, that's almost like being a cuss word, to be a servant, because that means you serve. That means you serve and you don't get paid for it. It's not like working in a restaurant where you get tips. You don't get no tips for being this servant. You might get cussed out. You might get talked about. You might become aggravated. You might be afflicted. You might be persecuted. But it's all about being a servant, because you're not doing it for you. You're doing it for the kingdom of God. And regardless of whether or not you get pat on the back for it or not, does not matter. God is looking. But we're able, but I like it, because we've been made efficient so that we can be the ministers. We can be servants of God and of the New Testament, which is, speaking of the new covenant of God, which is of Christ's blood. We have a new covenant. We no longer live off of the old covenant, but we're living according to the new covenant, which says what? That as long as you abide in him and he abides in you, what? You can do what? Ask what you will in his name, and it shall be done unto you. Things, these kind of things God has blessed you with, made you able ministers. God has enabled you to be so sufficient and efficient. And with the New Testament says that if you love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, he'll love you right back. And even if you forget to pray, he don't forget to pray for you, to believe God for you. Jesus is always at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us, whether we pray or not, because he searches the intents of our hearts and he knows what we have needs of. So therefore, he goes to the Father in prayer. That's why we have him as our intercessory prayer. That's why we can depend on him to take our feelings and our emotions and all the things we go through. We can expect him to take it to the Father. That's what's so good about this New Testament, this new covenant that we have with God. Brother Tim was talking about we don't have to go to God with billy goats and calves and all that kind of stuff no more now, because you can go to God for yourself. You don't have to just stop in the outer court or the inner court. You now have the ability to go into the Holy of Holies or the most high place. You can go right into the throne room and you can sit down and have a talk with God himself if you get yourself right with God. Ooh, hallelujah. But it says, the letter, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. How many, I'm going to say it again, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, not of the grammar or a word, which most folks are trying to live according to. Oh, a lot of folks finna get mad now. Folks are trying to live according to a word. They're trying to live their lives off of a prophecy. You can't live your life off of a prophecy. You can only live your life according to the promise. Anytime you live your life off of the prophecy, as soon as you mess up, the prophecy becomes null and void. But the promise doesn't care whether you flip or dip or roll over or fall on your back or fall off a building. The promise is going to stay intact. Because the promise is like the last will and testament. Whatever God has promised you, it's yours. And he's trying to let us know, Paul is trying to let these crazy Corinthians know that what you getting all caught up in is not necessary. People of God are getting caught up in things according to the letter that don't mean it, ain't worth a hill of beans. It don't change nothing, don't transform nothing, don't renew nothing, don't raise nothing up. All it do is kill things. God's got a word that's going to encourage people and let them know that today can be just as good as yesterday. And yesterday can be just as good as the day before. All you got to do is abide in him. The letter killeth. But the Spirit maketh alive, or the Spirit quickeneth, or the Spirit gives you the ability to do what? The Spirit gives you the ability or to stand up and proclaim that which is yours and walk into that which God has blessed you with, give you the ability to call those things that are not as though they are. The letter don't give you that power. The letter don't give you that ability. Because see, there's something about a word. A logos is a spoken word, but a rhema is an anointed word. There's a difference. A logos word will only lasts for a few seconds, but a rhema will last a lifetime. Logos only encourages you. Rhema destroys yokes. And that's the difference between the letter and the spirit. And God says the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life, or quickeneth. Somebody say quickeneth. But the letter quickeneth, and it give us the ability to do things that we never thought we could do. But because we believe God, we are a sweet savior of Christ to them that are saved and even unto them that perish. Why? Because of the life that Jesus laid down for us, that he now abides in us through the power of God, that now we can now look at things and we can speak to things and expect them to change. The problem is we call things the way we want them to be and we let them stay there. We don't expect anything to change. You have to expect things to change. You have to have faith in yourself and believe that whatever you say, God's going to do it. But you can't do that if you don't have fellowship or communion with him. You can't have confidence in God if you don't have communion with him. God wants to quicken us. Jump all the way over to the 17th verse, same chapter. 17th verse, the same chapter. The Lord, word of God says, now the Lord, remember what we just read, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And the Bible says, now the Lord is that Spirit. What Spirit? That Spirit that giveth life. That Spirit that gives you life. When you think you can't make it, something stirs up in your spirit to let you know that the battle is yours. It's done already. Huh? Listen to it. Job was talking to a tree and realized that the tree that he was talking to was actually the revelation of Jesus. God uses strange things, the strange things to confound the wise. Moses stood there talking to a bush, not knowing that he was getting ready to deliver a whole nation. So don't think it's strange when you talk to things. Y'all better not tell what you've been talking to. Now the Lord is that spirit that quickeneth. Here, when you see the word Lord, it means hokuos, or it means used by Christ concerning himself. It means that Paul is teaching them that Christ is actually talking about himself. For he is that spirit of life, that spirit of joy, that spirit of peace, that spirit of goodness, that spirit of mercy, that spirit of compassion, that spirit of long-suffering. He is that spirit. He is your strength. He is your joy. When it says, for the joy of the Lord is your strength, the joy of the Lord is your dunamis. Why? Because joy is a part of what? A part of the fruit of the Spirit. If it's part of the fruit of the Spirit, then it means it's a part of the nature and the character of God, which is what? A part of Christ. And if Christ is in you, then joy is supposed to be within you, and you have to do what? You have to figure out a way by the power of God to stir up the gift within you. You have to encourage yourself. Because if you don't encourage yourself, a lot of times nobody's around you going to encourage you. You have to figure out a way to encourage yourself. But you learn to encourage yourself by studying the word of God, by understanding and asking God to give you knowledge and wisdom. See, we ask God for a lot of things, but it ain't wisdom in God. The Lord is that spirit that I'm happy to say, or the pneuma, or the pneumaia, which is what? Is life. And where the life of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's freedom. There's freedom to do what? To worship God. There's liberty. And what I like about this verse, it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. How many of you have the Spirit of the Lord in you? So that means wherever you go, the Spirit of the Lord is in you. So wherever you go, there is what? Liberty. What does liberty mean? Liberty means you now have the ability to call those things that are not as though they are. On your job, in your home, on the street, wherever you may be, you now have the ability to speak and call those things that are not and cause them to be transformed and renewed the way you want them renewed. Because wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And if you have the Spirit of the Lord in you, then you have the right to proclaim and to announce liberty. We've gotten so caught up in what's going on in the world and what's going on in our lives and what's going on around us, we forgot that we have ability, that we have authority and dominion in the earth to make things change and to cause things to happen just by the words we speak. But our words have become so dramatized and so discouraging and so beat down and so dramatic that we've lost something in the process. God didn't create you not to be what God has called you to be. So what? You're going through some hell. Yep, so what? Paul said these are just light afflictions. They only as light as you allow them to become. The heavy, if you want them to be heavy, they'll be heavy. If you want them to be light, they'll be light. You find out they're light because they don't separate you from what? From the love of God. Because you realize by the power of God, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And by you having liberty and freedom to worship God in your own way, wherever you are, that sometimes you're on your job. You have to praise God. Don't mean you have to stand up there and talk in tongues and yell at the top of your voice. You can stand there with your mouth closed, hollering, "Thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. You are wonderful, God." All of a sudden, you will feel the presence of God flood your soul. Folks will look at you trying to figure out, "Oh, they crazy for sure." But it don't matter because God done answered your prayer, because that's the ability we now have in God. Folks think you got to be standing on the corner speaking in tongues in order to get God to do something. If I see you standing on the corner speaking in tongues, I'm going to go the other way. Because that just shows me that you don't recognize your authority in God. Oh, well, I might wave at you. But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's freedom. There's what? The Spirit of the Lord is in us. So there's freedom from what? Sickness. There's freedom from discouragement. There's freedom from heartache. There's freedom from stress. There's freedom from hatred. There's freedom from envy. There's freedom from jealousy. You name it, there's freedom from it. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The ability to pronounce and call those things and to put them under your feet. We walk around whining, complaining, down and out and beat up when God said, "Raise, stand up and proclaim this to be the acceptable day of the Lord." I'm finding out that being a born-again believer is almost like bowling. Anytime you go to bowl and you play you bowl defensively, you will never win. But when you go to bowl and you bowl offensively, you got a chance. Being a born-again believer, you've got to be on the offense. If you stay on the defense, you'll sit back and you'll get beat up and you'll get knocked down and you'll get twisted and you'll get cut and you'll get knocked around, but you got to stay on the offense. You got to stay on the offense by staying on your knees. You got to stay before God. You got to continue to speak the word of God. You got to continue to cast down imaginations that try to exalt themselves above or against the very word that God has placed in your life. Why? Because there is liberty in you. We're bound by things that we don't have to be bound by. We're being stressed out by situations that we shouldn't allow to stress us out. We're being beat up by things that we shouldn't be beat up by. Because we've forgotten our role in God. We've forgotten that we are the called and the chosen of God. And that God has given us power, not only in heaven, but in the earth. Now, the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. But we all, this is what I like, but we all of us, not individuals, but all of us, have to come to the realization that we're all a part of the body of Christ. We're all a part of this body. And we all, with what? Open faces. The word face means countenance in the Greek, or appearance. We are with an open or an unveiled countenance, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. That means that When you behold your countenance in the mirror, you're supposed to see a resemblance of what Christ represents. You're supposed to look into the mirror and see Jesus or something that represents him, whether it be his love, his joy, his peace, his goodness, his mercy, his compassion, his long-suffering, his faith. You've got to see something. If you look in the mirror and you don't see nothing but you, oh. If you are all you see, then you have a significant problem. Because somewhere down the line, you've missed God. I don't care what kind of mistakes you've made, what you said, what you've done, you can still look in the mirror and see Jesus. That's if you have the love of God in you. Because there's something about the love of God that has the ability to radiate and to manifest itself out of the midst of mess. With an open face beholding and a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed or are transformed in the same, into the same image or into the same icon or into the same likeness. So what that actually means is your covenant relationship going to take you through some stuff. Your covenant relationship going to put you in the garden. Your covenant relationship going to put you on the cross. It's going to put you down the cobblestone streets. Your covenant relationship going to make you wonder, if Father, if it be thy will, take this cup from me. But then your covenant relationship will make you also say, but nevertheless, Father, not my will, but let your will be done. When you say that, you know what that means? Okay, bring it on. Because I now understand that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That means I now have power to bring all things under subjection to the very word and the power of God. So you can't stop me. I can't stop me. Ain't no devil going to stop me. So you got to keep pressing your way on in to what God has for you. But you have to realize something. You have to realize that your life is no longer your own, but you've been bought with a price, and you have to do the things that God has called you to do. Hallelujah. The image from glory to glory. We're going to be transformed into the same likeness. In the same likeness, it means you'll have the same attitude that he had. And see, that's what this thing is all about anyway. That's why Jesus came into your life, to change your attitudes. Most folks think Jesus came into your life to make you a healthy, wealthy person. But Jesus came into your life to change your attitude, because your attitude governs your longitude. Your attitude governs where and how high you go in God. He came into our lives to transform us by the renewing of our mind. That's why the word of God says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What kind of mind was in Christ? A mind to serve the Father, regardless of the cost, regardless of the pain. Regardless of the agony, the mind was to serve God, was to serve his Father. When you open, unveil yourself, and your countenance begins to look like that of Christ, and you realize that God's called you to something far more greater than what you ever thought you could be called to, you realize that God has called you with an anointing and called you to have power and called you to have authority and called you to have dominion and left you something. He's left you an investment in himself, that you can take this investment and you can grow and you can mature. You can grow up into the fullness of the Godhead that God intended you to grow into, and you don't become stagnant, and you're not sitting back in a lazy boy chair rocking, but you out there on the front line fighting a good fight of faith, telling people about the goodness of God, telling people how great God is, telling people how wonderful God is, telling folks that God is a savior, that he's a deliverer, and that whatever it is they're going through, he is more than able to deliver them, telling them that he can be their crack, he can be their alcohol, he can be whatever it is that they need. But somebody's got to be able to tell him, but you can't tell them squat if you ain't been through nothing and you don't know what it's like to have made it. Rev, I'm looking to go from glory to glory. I'm tired of this glory. I'm ready to see the glory of God. And sometimes in order to see the glory of God, you got to die. Don't get scared now. You got to die out to your emotions. You got to die out to your feelings. You got to die out to situations. You got to die out to circumstances. You got to die out to trials and tribulations. You got to die out to afflictions and persecutions. You got to die out to them. Because they all come to do one thing, to steal your focus and to separate you from your calling, God. And folks think we think we're so powerful and so mighty, but you get separated real easy. But I'm looking to go from glory to glory, from hope, from my glory to his glory, from my hope into his hope, from my faith into his faith. And sometimes it means you got to go through the fire, and baby, you will be in the fire, and it will seem like you'll be burning, and folks will be walking by, walking to the left and walking to the right, and they won't reach in to try to grab you out, and you'll be wondering why are they just looking at me burn. But God said, I got a plan for you, and the only way I can bring forth this plan in your life is to burn you up. And by God burning you up, all the stuff that's in the bottom going to float to the top, and God's going to skim it off, and all that's going to be left is that which God saw in the beginning when he predestinated you to be conformed to the image of his son. Well, glory. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to move on. I'm ready to see God do what he promised he was going to do. And you know what I found out? The word of God says, listen to me, where there are two or three, where there are two or three gathered in my name that have confidence and faith in me, there shall I be in the midst of them. Just because you gather two or three don't mean that he's going to be there. You got to have confidence and faith in God. So you got to link yourself up with folks that have the same confidence, the same faith, and the same nature that you have in order to see God move. We were in Genesis this morning talking about Abraham and Lot. Abraham linked himself up with Lot, and God told him to leave all his kindred. But he loved Lot so much, he took Lot with him. But he never received what God promised him till he left Lot sitting on the side of the road. It's time to move on so that we can glorify God. I want to read you something, then I'm closing. If you go over to the 4th chapter and the 7th verse, it says this. For we have this treasure. What treasure? The treasure that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of who? Not of us. We are troubled on what? Every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. Hallelujah. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but we're not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Christ Jesus might be made manifest in our body. What brings forth the life of God? The things you go through. You want an anointing? You've been crying out for a supernatural anointing in God? Well, then stop whining because you're going through something. Stop whining because things ain't working out your way. Stop whining because folks ain't treating you right. Stop whining because folks don't love you. God, you ask God for something, and if you want to get it, you got to stand the test. God ain't going to let you be destroyed. He's not going to let you be distressed. He's not going to let you be perplexed. He's not going to let you be cast down. He's not going to let you, none of these things go. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. The one that says, for we which live, if you're living for God, you will always be cast down for the sheep as slaughter. So why think it's strange, the fiery trials that you're subjected to? Sometimes I think it's real strange. But it don't change the mind of God at all. His word is his word. And one thing about the word of God, we may change it, but it don't change. It don't ever change. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus and the Lord ourselves, your servants for Jesus' sake. Don't get caught up in what you're going through. Preach the word. Don't get caught up in how you feel, but preach the word. So, well, I'm not a preacher. Yes, you are. Everybody sitting in here is a preacher. Whether or not you're preaching from a pulpit, or you're preaching on the street, or you're preaching on your job, or you're preaching someplace in a hospital, you're a preacher. Preaching, all it means is to proclaim or herald or tell somebody about the goodness of God. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge, the understanding of the glory of God, that we now have a chance to go from glory to glory, from faith to faith, and from love to love. We have the ability to change and be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Your mind or your spirit cannot be renewed if you're not in this Bible. Don't ever take what I say or some minister on the radio or some minister on TV for face value. Get in your Bible and find out what God is saying to you. Because if you don't find out what God's saying to you, what we say to you don't mean nothing. Because the power of the word is in what God has to reveal unto you. Everybody stand. Well, glory to God. In the highest anyway. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you need prayer tonight, I want you to come stand across this room. I feel Jesus.